Mary has been on nothing more infuriating than being put on hold and hearing the music over and over again. I prefer companies that simply ask you to leave your name and number and they'll ring you back. And they do. Why can't others do this? Says Mary. Well, on the line we have Tim Carlton, who composed Opus 1, which was used by Cisco back in the 90s. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Ray.
Can we put you on hold there, please? Sorry. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So just for people who don't know about Cisco, they were a major, still are a major telephone company in America.
Yes.
Yes. And this happened in the 90s?
In the late 90s, yes.
Yeah.
They were developing a VoIP product and needed hold music, apparently.
Okay. And how did you get involved?
Well, a friend of mine who had a copy of the song was working with them, and I really didn't care anything about it, but thought it was just, you know, another tape in the drawer, and I didn't think the product was actually going to go anywhere. And it turned out that was kind of a huge product and got used in a lot of places.
When you say product, the song, the piece of music that you'd composed.
Well, the phone system that Cisco had made.
You didn't think, their product was going to go anywhere. Oh, I see, I see.
So I didn't really, you know, think about anything or look for compensation
right,
or anything like that. It was just, here you go, take this thing. I have a job.
Yeah, but how did they contact you in particular?
Well, my friend had a copy of it, and he was the one that was working on that project.
Aha, right. And what age were you when you wrote the piece of music?
I was probably like 15 or 16.
Right. So I'm just listening. It's sort of electronic type.
Yeah. It was probably written around, started right at about 86. That recording's about 89. And I was teaching myself piano, and then when I was 16, I ended up buying a bunch of synthesizers.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of a warm-up song. I've got boxes of tapes of me playing that thing. So,
right.
I didn't really think much of it.
What was your friend's name?
Derek Deal.
Right. So Derek works with Cisco. He's working on this new telephone system, and did he say to you, Tim, have you got any music there in the drawer that we could use as holding music?
Well, he knew about it.
Yes.
He was fellow nerd back then, and
right.
He knew what I was doing with music and stuff like that, and so he actually had a copy of it and just called me up and saying, hey, I think we can actually get this in here.
Okay.
And I just thought it was like, a buried song somewhere on some computer system or some neat little product. You know, I didn't even know what VoIP was at that point. Or didn't think it would be something profitable.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, go ahead, use it.
And did they buy you out, or what happened?
No, I think basically nobody really thought it through. So there wasn't really much of a contract other than, you know, here, you can use this.
Right.
But there was no transfer of ownership. So I do own the song, and we've since updated those deals. So I actually do get something for that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right. So have they continued to use it?
Yes, they're continuing to use it today.
Okay. And at what stage then did you go back, go, hello, Mr. Cisco, that's my music, and you've been using it since the late 1990s, and I want compensation?
Well, it wasn't quite like that. I think what happened is the usages, people became a little bit more aware of usage.
Yeah.
I think in the EU, there were actually rights societies that were saying, hey, composers, you can't give up your rights to collect royalties anymore, and we're going to go after and start collecting them. In the US, the song was actually used for a Super Bowl commercial about 2 years ago. And that's pretty much when Cisco, I probably realized that, hey, yeah, we probably should get our paperwork in order. So.
Right. So that's big news then. A Super Bowl ad.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. It allowed me to pay off my house and eventually just quit my job.
Hey, what a story. You won the lotto, really.
No, but
you know, you paid off your mortgage and quit your job. That's pretty serious money.
Yeah, it was enough at least to do that.
Yeah, and you still make music, Tim?
I do. I rarely record, but I write a lot still.
Right. Okay. And so, tell us the story about the Super Bowl ad. How did that happen?
That was actually, it was an advertisement company that was, working for, Budweiser that, they were looking for an ad and I really don't know much about that. It's really, they come up with the ideas and find who owns the rights.
Right. And they found you. That must have been a nice call to get.
It was. It was, you know, trying to keep your cool as they're telling you it's the Super Bowl and you're like, oh, I really want this.
But I don't want to sound too enthusiastic, but I really, And was that one check or not? You don't have to tell me the details, but was it one check or is it ongoing?
There are rights societies that give you little checks, but it's mainly just one check you get for the
Super Bowl,
for the advertisement.
Yeah.
But pretty standard sync for commercials or TV usage. It's all the same thing.
But does that go on the number of people who see it?
It's two fees. So you're paid for the usage of it just to be in the commercial. Mm-hmm. But then when it's broadcast, then I believe the broadcasters have to pay that royalty. It's considered a performance of the composition.
Yes.
And then separately a performance of the recording.
Yes.
And it's different rights societies that collect both of those checks. But those tend to be the ones that people refer to as pennies. They add up, but...
Yeah. Wow, what a brilliant story. And you were sort of cool throughout, it sounds to me. Cool about giving it to your mate. Cool about following up on Cisco. And then when you lost a bit of your cool was when Budweiser came calling and gave you a check that changed your life. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky. It's kind of a, it's certainly not something I ever expected.
No, has anybody done a dance version of it?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a whole thing about, I don't allow samples for people to release that, but people do remix it all the time.
Yeah.
There's plenty of TikTok skits of people doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, great. How do you fill your day then if you've given up your job?
I really should be doing more. I watch a lot of YouTube and think about what I should be doing. It's only been about a year.
Okay. YouTube celebrates its 20th birthday today. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah. And the first clip was one of the guys who invented it standing in front of an elephant enclosure in a zoo. And it's been watched 348 million times. But things have changed over the last 20 years.
And apparently at some point somebody hacked that video to redirect to my song.
Did they?
Yes, that video's been hacked a bunch of times.
Oh, it's a tiny little world we live in, Tim. Thanks for staying up for us and taking our call and congratulations on everything.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim. Bye now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.